This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
Clothing was rather scarce for the tribes folks. Scarce in the sense that they didn't see the need for them.
So it was charm school, dancing school, music lessons.
And we all had crampons on, and it was very icy. Not that good with an ice axe.
You never knew who was the enemy, so you had to assume that everybody was the enemy.
But that was one point when I realized there was a possibility outside of what I had been taught.
And it was just like coming home, home.
And welcome again to the many voices of Hitchhiking Off the Map. I'm Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller.
From our studio in Sebastopol, California, with the plum tree in the front yard bearing tons of plum butter for the winter and being every day grateful for the path that has brought us here. This is a show about journeys, the trip you took that got you to wherever you are right now. And very likely it's been a trip you didn't buy a ticket for.
On the other hand, some people do follow their itinerary precisely from the age of six.
Yeah. If that is the case, we'd love to talk to you about that. How did you do that? So this month, we're really kind of betraying the human consciousness revolution, you know, our evolution as a species to a higher rent district on the astral plane, which we are earnestly endeavoring to bring about. But I mean, the human race has been putzing along this long. It can wait a few more weeks. We are taking a vacation. A very bourgeois thing, I know.
So we're going to be going back and listening to some of our favorite stories from the past season, which you may not have heard, or actually you might like to hear some again.
This week, two microdramas, and these both have to do with fantasy and reality living side by side. We think of fantasy as an escape from reality, but I've come to see it much more, if there's a truth in it, as living side by side with reality.
The first story does come from the memory of a trip Conrad took almost to Yellowstone, and also from a visit to a friend who had fallen downstairs and broken his ribs.
I hope he is healed by now.
And in starting to write it, we had no idea why these things fit together or where it was going.
So I had a lot in common with the character.
And once again, as we did before, we'd like to dedicate this piece to those friends of ours who are divorced and have actually managed to continue as caring friends to one another. This is Down the Stairs to Yellowstone.
Yes.
Hello. Oh,
hi,
Joan. Yeah, intelligent people take their cordless phones to the bathroom. What's up?
Had you forgotten that Sarah's tuition check is due for the fall?
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm sorry. I'll get it in the mail on Monday.
What about today?
Okay, today. Is it that much of a rush? I thought her fall tuition wasn't due yet.
It's the 4th of November.
Oh, yeah, it is November. Time flies. Well, look.
Jerry, I don't want to be a nag, and I've sent them a check already, but this is the agreement, right?
Joan, please. I'm not a deadbeat. I think we can agree on that, can't we? I never missed a support payment. I've been pretty good on the tuition, but I just...
Pretty good is not really good enough. I'm not rolling in money, you know?
Could you cut me a little slack, please? I'm walking around with 5 broken ribs.
You what? What happened? When?
I fell downstairs. Well, I didn't want to bother you. I felt, I don't know, that'd be intrusive.
Look, dummy, I care about you.
I know you do. Yeah, I care about you too. Look, I wasn't saying that as an excuse for the check. I just forgot. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize for breaking your ribs, damn it.
No, well, you know, I told you I was moving. I have no use for a whole damned house, and I'm not really having money problems. I just finished a big contract, but things are slow, so I found a nice apartment.
Same number?
Yeah, same number. I mean, you just called, right? We seem to be talking on the phone right now, yes? Yeah, so I put stuff in storage, and then Friday before I left, I fell down the stairs.
Oh, Jerry.
I'd put out the trash ready to go, and I found another box. Letters, mostly from Joan, my wife, ex-wife, stuff from my mother, knickknacks, Boy Scout badges. Yikes, clear it out. Remember Lot's wife, one look back, pillar of salt. but I couldn't throw it out. Too final. So I thought, put it back in the basement, clear back where the stairs go up. I'll never see it again, but I'll know it's there. People do crazy things when they're nuts. So I take the box and open the door to the basement stairs and step into empty space. He should have let go of the box. He heard himself yell out, but couldn't tell what he was saying. He felt the floor before he hit it. Then he hit it. Great peace. Just lay there. For the first time in months, I felt no need to check the calendar, finish the work list, balance the checkbook, seek company for the evening, breathe.
My God, Jerry, I'm sorry. Is there anything you need?
I lay there, and then the pain came. Try to get up, crawl, scream, try to sleep, try to cringe from the cold seeping up.
But you're okay now?
Try to remember old myths of underworld journeys, how to talk to the demons, wings, shadows, teeth.
But you're okay now?
Try to remember Joan. Well, one good thing, I found an ashtray.
Ashtray?
Ashtray my mother had, souvenir. It was lying right at my nose, fell out of the box. It hurt to reach for it.
I know, ribs are terrible. There's no way to brace them, they just have to heal.
Very true. If I'd thought of that, I might not have broken them.
Look, I'm sorry, Jerry. I didn't mean to... I'm trying to be sympathetic, damn it, okay?
Okay.
So, are you able to work all right?
The ashtray says Yellowstone.
Yellowstone?
Yellowstone.
Yep, what are you talking about, Yellowstone?
No, I remembered our trip to Yellowstone.
We never went to Yellowstone.
No, my mother. My mother and me when I was 8 or 9.
I'm sorry, I think I missed the point.
Down the stairs to Yellowstone. What if we run out of gas? What if it's a fake? What if we can't afford it? What if they close it up? What if it rains? What if bad guys attack? What if Mama dies? What if there's no one to play with? What if I get lost?
Jerry, just please remember to call. You don't sound good. You sound like it hurts all the time. You sound like you're gonna cry.
When we get to Yellowstone, will we see geysers? Will the geysers spurt up high? Will we see bears? Will the bears make grizzly bears? When we get to Yellowstone, will there be the lava pools that burble like oatmeal but a zillion times hotter than oatmeal so you fall in, you curl up to a little black shrivel? Will the lava be there all night or just when they turn it on? I think it'll be there all night. I think it's real. Will we see deer? Will we see wolves and mountain lions and ducks? Could we feed the ducks if they have ducks? Would they have ducks if they have grizzly bears? Could the bears eat a whole tourist? Could we watch? How far is it to Yellowstone? Yellowstone. Why do they call it Yellowstone? Are there Yellowstones? Are the Yellowstones gold? Can we look for gold? How will we know it's really gold? If we find the gold, can we buy stuff? When we see mountains, will they be up in the clouds? Will they all have snow on top? Can we go to the top? How much farther? How far?
You know, because we've been through a lot together and hurt each other, but we can be part of each other's lives without being intrusive, don't you think?
Joan, goddammit, I miss you so much.
Let's not get into that. We've been there, done that.
Damn you! I know.
Well, I miss you, too. You know I do. You know I care about you. Just because we're not together and we fight at the drop of a hat, I still care, okay? You hear what I'm saying, okay?
Thank you. Didn't I ever tell you about Yellowstone? Trip to Yellowstone my mom took me on?
I don't think so. That's where you got the ashtray?
I hadn't thought about that for years. My mom died. I packed up some stuff and this stupid ashtray because Yellowstone. Look, I'm sorry to go nattering on, but this damned ashtray, I mean, why did I find this ashtray? Why did I descend to the underworld and pick this up? Do I sound like a total nutcase?
I refuse to testify.
Yellowstone. Joan, I got to tell you, because there isn't one goddamn son of a bitching human being I can talk to right now, and I won't take up your time, but I was dying, I guess. I thought about it for months ahead. I remember thinking, we'll drive there across the prairie and brown grass. Not much to see, billboards, farmhouses off in the distance, nothing. And then the mountains rise up, blue and white, and I'll be stunned. And then a gate saying, "Welcome to Yellowstone." And it's green. Green. And heavy sunlight you can swim in almost, and the sound of the hot mud pools. And I knew there were prehistoric fish with jaws and big teeth, and they swim in the rivers of lava. Rumble of bears. And I roll up the window because I'm scared, and then slowly I roll it down. The grizzly comes to the window. The biggest, darkest grizzly. And I don't put my arms outside the window, but he comes. And he stands and tells stories. Stories of all the grizzlies and how the grizzlies fought the Indians and how they made friends. And here I am, lying on concrete, stone cold, pain, peeing my pants, 22 hours before the real estate person came, rescued by the realtor, and I'm reaching out for the ashtray. But I was there in Yellowstone, drift off dreaming of grizzlies bathing in lava, taking a shower in the geysers, lying down in the snow, in caves under the snow, and dreaming of me.
What if we run out of gas? What if it's a fake? What if we can't afford it? What if they close it up? What if it rains? What if bad guys attack? What if Mama dies? What if there's no one to play with? What if I get lost?
We'll get there tomorrow. But today the car stops. My mom thinks it's the fuel pump. We're in Laramie, Wyoming. They fix it, but my mom's scared to drive on. We buy an ashtray that says Yellowstone, then drive back home.
So I guess one way to interpret that in this context is that I had these wonderful visions built up for our marriage, and it broke down, lousy fuel pump, and never got there.
The other way to interpret is, for Yellowstone anyway, you got there. It couldn't have been more real if you'd walked through the gate.
Well, this isn't a fairy tale, Joan. I've got 5 broken ribs and 1 tacky souvenir.
The souvenir holds the vision. So are you getting any better?
Painfully.
You know I care about you.
Well, and if you were here, I would have to say I know you love me, but please do not hug me very hard. So, how's your significant other?
He's good. He's fine. He's really good. I love you, too.
Thank you. I say what I want to say, since we can't hear each other.
Okay.
What if we run out of gas?
On the New Jersey Turnpike, we did.
What if it's a fake? I always believed stuff anyway. What if we can't afford it? Charge it.
Forget it.
Grow your own.
What if they close it up?
Stand there and imagine.
What if it rains? Get wet? What if bad guys attack? What if Mama dies? What if there's no one to play with? What if I get lost?
They did. She did. I did. So?
Funny that it's taken us this many years and 2 dogs and a daughter and a divorce just to find the seed of something. Friendship?
So, thanks for calling.
I had a good excuse.
Yeah, the check's in the mail.
I hope. Good night.
Night.
That was Down the Stairs to Yellowstone.
And the music was by Elizabeth. And we'd be interested in hearing stories from anybody who actually did get to Yellowstone. Some people do. So, our next story came from an improvisation by our working group, the Hitchhikers Ensemble, and Elizabeth's memories of Wanamaker's department store.
I grew up in Indiana, but my mother had a friend from her vaudeville days whom we visited in Philadelphia. Mary Vogt was a tiny little lady who played the enormous pipe organ every noon at Wanamaker's department store, so we'd always make a trip to Wanamaker's.
And this story was also a chance for me to recreate my memorable supporting role in an outdoor ritual drama as the sun god. The sun god comes to Wanamaker's. This is Shoppers.
I was about 6 or 7, maybe. We had an apartment in way southwest Philadelphia. My dad worked in construction, but he was out of work a lot. And I had the usual childhood, couple brothers, friends. My mom and dad had disagreements, but they got along okay. All the stuff that's happened to me in the rest of life, I never blamed on them. It was in January, I guess, right after Christmas.
What do they think? We can't afford to buy our clothes?
Well, can we? It's a present, a Christmas present. They like to give their grandkids presents. They can afford it. The boys got bikes. What's the difference?
There's a difference between bikes and a winter coat.
There sure was. Grandpa and Grandma gave my brothers bikes. For me, they sent money for a coat.
So what am I supposed to do?
Go buy a coat.
They said go downtown to Wanamaker's, get something nice. Honey, get up, Elizabeth. Get up, we're going downtown.
It's dark.
It's just overcast, the sun's not out. Get up, we're going shopping at Wanamaker's.
What's Wanamaker's?
I told you, it's the big department store where they have really beautiful things. And I bet their Christmas lights are still up. And they've got this big, huge pipe organ that they play. And Grandma and Grandpa gave you some money for clothes. So we're going to get something really, really nice.
I had a dream.
Come on, we have to get going. Bad dream?
Story you read about the sun.
What? The sun god and the chariot?
I'm carrying the sun across the sky.
Well, that was what people believed a long time ago. Now, come on.
How could they do that? And wouldn't the sun burn up the chariot and the horses?
It's a story, okay? It's a mythological story. They believed that a long time ago, before they knew the sun was really huge and rotated around the earth.
It doesn't.
It's right. Well, whatever. Come on.
Is the bus going to come?
Sometime. It's supposed to come every half hour.
I'm cold.
That's why you need a new coat. Your grandma saw you in that. I knew there was going to be trouble. I was supposed to marry a nice college boy from the main line. According to her, I followed my hormones instead.
What's hormones?
Never mind. Where's the damn bus?
Why isn't the sun out?
It's out. You just can't see it. It's behind the clouds. It's winter. It's Philadelphia.
Well, what if there was a sun god before and then they changed
it? They didn't change it. There was always just one god. They just didn't know any better.
It would have been better to have a sun god. And then he could just be the sun god and do that all the time and be warm.
Well, don't talk like that to your grandma. She'll think we're raising heathens. Is that the bus?
It wasn't the bus. It came from a far distance, rising up. Could see the horses, the flare of the manes, and then the sun. Sun God, the sun. I wanted to look at Mom, but I was afraid she'd be afraid, and then I'd be too afraid to look. Like when my brothers found the dead cat. So I just held onto her hand. street got bright, and the buildings were gold, and the bricks real gold, and we'd be rich. And he came, and he stopped.
Yotretska!
He was a little tiny guy. I thought he was tall, but he was standing up on the seat, and his face was gold, and a big nose, and long silver hair with sparks shooting out like sparklers, and light, and kind of a yellow bathrobe. He had the reins in one hand, and a cup of coffee.
Yotretska!
I guess that meant get in. I looked at Mom.
Well, get in, it's the bus.
We got on the chariot. Mom paid the fare.
Watch out!
The horses took off, we rose up over the street.
Elizabeth, close your eyes.
Why?
You'll be scared.
I'm not scared.
Do as I say.
But now I can't see.
There's nothing to see, it's the street.
Well, then what's scary?
Nothing, shut up.
I peeked. We're rising up over the buildings and the windows glitter. The bricks come alive in the sunlight, and then we're high. Philadelphia stretched out like a bedspread with these little blocky patterns and big stripes and blotches of green and the rivers. No streets now, far below the rivers, and then the open space. I peeked up at Mom. Her eyes were shut. Oh, Mom, it's bright. Up ahead, the sunlight is leaping onto the hills and bounding over the rolling hills. We cut through the clouds. The trees stretch up their limbs and say good morning.
Go on.
I don't need a coat now. Mom, it's warm.
We'll be there soon, honey. It's okay.
It's okay, Mom.
It's okay.
Zarchnoy!
What does that mean? What's the driver saying? Whole forests are turning their leaves. Look back, see my shadow in the clouds. Like Santa Claus bringing presents, we're bringing the sun.
Sun!
So, that means sun.
Honey, this is the South Street Bridge. It's not real far now.
Look up at the driver. Can't see him, he's too bright. His hair is streaming out, long whip snaps it over the horses.
Look out!
He sounds angry, but he's not angry. He just has to travel a long, long way.
We're here, come on, this is our stop. Elizabeth, come on, get up. This is Wanamaker's.
Mom.
Oh, look at the decorations. And you can see way up there. That's the big pipe organ. Maybe they'll play that. Now try this on. This is beautiful. How does it feel?
Mom.
I think it's beautiful. You look good in pink. What else do we need? Mittens. Try these on. They look kind of funny, but they'll be warm. That's good. You want some hot chocolate?
Mommy!
Hot chocolate to get us warm.
What'll it be?
Two hot chocolates. Okay, finish your hot chocolate. We have to go.
Zarchnoy!
Take hold of my hand. All these people. Bus stop. Here we are. Get on the bus. Sit by the window. Button your coat. Keep warm.
Mom!
Nice coat.
I think it is. She looks good in pink.
Have a good time, honey?
She had a wonderful time. We had hot chocolate, saw all the decorations.
Mom, you saw him too.
Did you like the pipe organ? We didn't have time to hear it play. Honey, did you like the pipe organ?
Mom, the sun god up in the sky. You saw him.
Zarchnoy!
She was kind of scared of the bus.
That was the first time I knew we were in different worlds, my mother and me. I didn't speak her language anymore, but I didn't know what the sun god said. I didn't know the words for Zarchnoy. I went past the bus stop every day, till after high school, and I moved to Baltimore. And I waited many years before the chariot came again.
Zarchnoy!
Zarchnoy.
That was Shoppers. Joining us as performers were Lori Guzda, Mary Criquet, and the Sun God. And again, Elizabeth's music.
Next week, we revisit our friends Jess and Bill Middleton, who got engaged in college and then took 30 years and several marriages to finally get together. And a meditation of what we remember.
And in November, we'll be doing a special program Last year, we did a series about many, many women's experiences of pregnancy and childbirth. And there's another very different experience that's also, for many people, something that makes as profound a change: going to war. We're collecting interviews with war veterans. Whatever your story, whatever you feel about it now, if it was a vivid experience to you, we'd like to hear. You can email us, info@independenteye.org, or go through our website, www.independenteye.org.
Other credits: script by Bishop and Fuller, music and editing by Fuller, transcriptions by Eli Bishop and Sarah Marshall. Web creators are Lou Judson, Eli Bishop, Steve Powell, and Steve Willite. Dramatic explorations by the Hitchhikers Ensemble. And to the people of KRCB, KPFA, KFCF, KWMR, KZYX, KZYZ, and CJLY in Kootenay, British Columbia, thank you all.
Hitchhiking Off the Map is produced by the Independent Eye with funding from the National Endowment for the Arts and from the Hitchhikers Guild, our cadre of friends whose support makes this all possible. We invite you to become a member. www.independenteye.org. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller. Peace and joy.
From the sayings of Lao Tzu, depending on the translation.
A journey of 1,000 miles must begin with a single step.
1,000 miles journey starts with one step.
The journey of 1,000 leagues begins from beneath your feet.
A journey of 1,000 miles starts in front of your feet.
And from the small child of Lao Tzu,
are we there yet?